Welcome back to JR Morning. Michigan workers and seniors getting a financial break. A new law eliminates state income taxes on tips, overtime pay, and Social Security income, part of a bipartisan budget signed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer aimed at easing the burden on working families and retirees. The exemptions will last for 3 years, covering tax years 2026 through 2028. It's the subject of today's Capital Report, sponsored by the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. And joining us now to talk about this and what it means for Michiganders is State Representative Joe Aragona. And Representative, welcome back to JR Morning.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, this law is being called one of Michigan's biggest bipartisan wins this year. Talk about what motivated lawmakers to take this step to eliminate the state taxes on tips and overtime and Social Security income.
Yeah, so this is something that my office was working on pretty much since the beginning of the term back in January. This is something that President Trump really pushed during the election, and his opponent, Kamala Harris, got on board and said, you know what, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that as well. That's going to be part of my platform. And I thought, look, if the feds are agreeing on that, which the feds don't agree on a ton,
right?
I think maybe that's something we can bring to the state level. So that's something that we wanted to do to help out tipped wage workers, which, you know, those types of jobs, that's pure hustle, right? I mean, if you're trying to make a good amount of money as a tipped wage worker in a restaurant, you got to hustle pretty hard. We also wanted to protect Social Security. We wanted to make sure that our seniors are protected, that they're not hit with more of a burden of more taxes because they're paying a variety of taxes elsewhere. So let's give them a little bit of a break in their golden years. And then overtime, again, it's one of those things. You protect, you know, if you're hustling, if you're going out and saying, I'm going to work a little bit more, I'm going to provide for my family more, you know, why do we got to hit you, keep hitting you with taxes? Let's give you a break. So that's something that we really started pushing. You know, obviously the Dems got on board, the Democrats in both the House and the Senate. They agreed, and we were able to make it part of the overall budget that went through in a pretty bipartisan manner.
What are the regulations here for the state level? I mean, I know there are some for the federal one, and there are qualified occupations for the federal one. Do you have similar things?
For like tipped wages or
yeah,
or
so for the overtime? For the one that was passed by the federal government, they said they have some regulations on who qualifies and a list of qualified occupations. I'm wondering if the state has that too.
So we've mainly limited it to like the first 25,000, I believe. There's a couple of different variations going around, but we tried to limit it to like the first big chunk of money that you would get through tipped wages. So that's kind of how we were able to limit it. It was also we were able to limit it to a certain fiscal impact rather than sit and like list out exactly what type of worker you could be.
Okay, so it's a number, not an occupation.
Yeah, we meant more number, which influenced more the fiscal side rather than kind of how the feds did it.
And, you know, Representative, Michigan is joining really a growing list of states that, you know, are looking to kind of ease that tax burden for tipped and hourly workers. How much of this was about staying competitive with other states that are doing the same thing?
Oh, huge. Yeah. I mean, we always want to be competitive with other states. I saw a number published the other day where Michigan is only, you know, where I think for a business climate or something in the order of like 47th or 46th. I mean, that's pretty bad, right? So, there's things that we want to do to move Michigan in the right direction, because obviously we're sliding a bit. Part of that is roads. You know, I know here in Macomb County, there's been a few businesses that have approached our economic development department at the county level. And one of the things that turns them off is our roads, right? I mean, if you got a lot of trucks and you got to go over a lot of bad roads, well, you can expect a lot of maintenance costs over the next couple of years. So I think the finally getting a good solid roads package that gets about $2 billion to roads, I think that's really going to help. So, you know, I think those are things that will really help make us competitive. But really what it boiled down to was, again, if you're a worker that you're going out and doing you're going to serve somebody in a restaurant, that's high hustle. You got to be going at it. So that's kind of the American spirit. The harder you work, the better you'll do. And we wanted to reward that behavior.
we are in the middle of a federal government shutdown. I'm wondering what worked on the state level to bring people together. Everybody was able to talk and come to a compromise. Why could it be done there and not at the federal level?
Well, we got some really good leaders in the House. We got a great leadership team headed by Speaker Matt Hall. I think he did a great job of negotiating. He also put in a lot of great senior level staff that they really knew what they were doing. So I really got to give a lot of credit there. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think that you know, the Speaker and the governor really started negotiating. Ultimately, you know, we wanted a roads package. There's certain other things we really wanted to see. We wanted to see some cuts. We wanted to cut phantom employees, you know, that are just full-time FTEs that we appropriate dollars for, but there's nobody actually sitting in that chair doing the job at the state level. So, you know, those are things that you can really make a solid argument for that the governor could get on board with, I think. So I think that's kind of the dynamic you saw at the state level. At the federal level, obviously, it looks like the Senate is just simply holding out for one thing, and that's the health care for illegal aliens. So I think the Fed's got a little bit of a tougher uphill battle when you're mainly dealing with pure politics rather than, you know, let's talk about each other's policies. Let's sit down at a table and try and hammer out a solution, right?
Yep.
I mean, we raised taxes on the marijuana industry on a wholesale tax. That's the one tax increase that we could get through. We didn't want to do it, but again, you got to compromise when you got
compromise.
Two parties sitting down at the table together.
Nice.
Yeah, I love that word, compromise. Representative, we got about 30 seconds. I got to ask you this. Now, these exemptions are temporary. They only cover 26 through 28 tax years. Why limit it to 3 years? Is there an appetite to maybe make them permanent if the results are positive?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is kind of a little bit of a test balloon. You know, sometimes we'll put a bill in that has a sunset in it, right? This law is only good for the next 5 years or 10 years or however long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think this is really gonna, you know, I'm definitely in favor of those because, hey, if you get something wrong, now you can change it in 3 years and you're going to have to change it in 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. So, you know, let's take a look. Let's see what the result is. And after that, yeah, let's make them permanent or just extend that out. So.
All right, Representative Joe Aragona, we appreciate you coming on this morning, giving your insight on this. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll talk about the big debate tonight. There is a debate between the top two vote-getters in the primary for mayor. I'll tell you more about it and where you can see it next on JR Morning.